to the Spark Podcast, where you'll hear top wellness advice from leading Canadian professionals. Each episode explores topics from food, stress, sleep, wellness, natural living, self-improvement, and much more to give you actionable steps to improve your family's health. Your host is Zing Bronson. The Spark Podcast is every 2 weeks on a Wednesday. Before we jump into today's episode, note that Spark Podcast is brought to you by the website Common Thought. Common Thought is an affiliate of Pasco, Canada. The seasons are changing, and the cold weather is on its way. When my family is not feeling well, I use Pasco for cold, flu, seasonal allergies, and bone and joint pain. The best natural health supplements, from tablets, drops, to creams, help relieve symptoms with Pasco Canada products.
This is our 8th episode. We are in October 2019. I can't believe it's our 8th episode. Here's the update of my journey just for the new listeners. I'm learning about Chinese medicine. The reason why I'm doing this podcast and blog is because I'm going through a journey of chronic medical condition of type 2 diabetic. Since we're talking about healing, this episode is going to be a special because this is my first time meeting Christian Kitchen, the creator of Organically Connected. Their mission is to become a hub for anything, everything that promotes self-discovery. The product the shop sells are designed to create to help you along your journey within. Organically Connected is inspired to help anyone seeking peace, fulfillment in their lives, using mindful journaling, community, and meditation to gently guide you in your own journey. Without further ado, here is Christian Kitchen about being present with others. Hello, Christian. Welcome to Spark Podcast.
Hi, thanks.
I just want to tell you, you're our first Reiki practitioner in our Spark Podcast. I'd like to send you a warm welcome.
Thank you.
I just want to ask you, can you tell me about your background?
Well, basically this journey into Reiki and energy healing started about 2 years ago, fairly late in my life actually. I was in a dark place in my life. I never had a lot of connection to spirituality or meditation. I was feeling pretty down on myself and ended up seeing a therapist for that depression, which led me into meditation. At that time, I was meditating and learning how to meditate and not knowing what I was doing. And as I was meditating, actually, something mystical kind of happened, actually. Something moved inside my being as energy, and I didn't know what it was. And when I say that, I mean my head actually moved, and I didn't do it. So it kind of surprised me that this had happened. That led me into seeking out the mystical in my life a little bit,
yeah.
Because it was kind of like magic, actually.
Yeah.
So I went from being a video game playing technology guy who really wasn't into anything to a energy healer within a course of a year, actually, of my life is how quick it happened.
Wow.
Yeah. It changed my entire life instantaneously. When I started going inside myself to meet myself, right. I found there was a lot of peace and a lot of magic there. And I wanted to learn more about it. So I, as we like to say in the community, I dove down the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
I took a leap down the rabbit hole and I ended up meeting some beautiful people in the community who weren't necessarily out in the public. There was little groups that would meet and talk about this stuff. And They fostered me and helped me learn a little bit about what I was experiencing. Only I seemed to be on some type of accelerated path because it was happening very fast for me.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and now... This has been about 3 years. I was 37 when that happened, so I'm just turning 40 this year. So it was about 2 years ago that I went from...
Yeah, that's very fast.
Yeah, not doing anything to owning a shop and practicing quite frequently on people, yeah.
Okay.
So that led me up to starting to practice professionally about, I think it was January of last year. So just about 2 years now that I've actually been practicing. I used to work in the basement of the Fit for Life Church.
Okay.
I had a little room down there, and within the course of about 6 or 7 months, I seen about 300, 400 people.
Wow.
Yeah, just without advertising or anything. So
that's
I kind of felt like maybe there's something to this I need to pursue, right? And there was a lot of magic that happened in the meantime.
Right.
A lot of synchronicities, as we call them. Coincidences is what other people call them.
Right.
That led me down a path. and they led me to want to share this with people. So I began to practice more and more and more on people, and it would grow. So the energy that I was working with would get more connected, kind of like going to the gym. Mm-hmm. The more you go to the gym, the more weights you can lift. And right. the more that I would meditate, the more that I would meet with people, the stronger mm-hmm. my energy would get and the more my clients would receive. So right. I've just been following that path that kind of led me up to the beginnings of this store. January of this year, actually, is when the store opened up.
Yeah.
Because this world of energy healing, and that is very much about community too.
Yes.
So that's something that meant a lot to me. Once I got to where I was, I wanted to give back to the people who had helped me, and then find other people right. who might be going through similar mental illness
yes,
issues.
Yes.
And how can
there's
I help them?
There's a lot. There's a lot of stress out there.
Yes. And way too many pills to try to fix.
Yes,
it.
Exactly.
So we're trying to teach people how to do it internally without having to use a bunch of chemicals or pharmaceuticals. And really, you can heal yourself if you truly
yes.
believe in it. With some help sometimes on the table.
Yeah.
It helps open a door for people.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. We're the same, like-minded people.
Same wheelhouse.
Yeah. When did you know you had this gift?
That's an interesting little backstory to that, actually. As I was growing up when I was young, I always felt just a little bit out of place. So I didn't quite fit in to the mold. But I had this strange feeling when I was a kid that I always wished I had a superpower, just like every little kid did. But I actually wished I had some type of psychic power. So that was something I always wished was kind of cool to have. But I thought, for some reason in my teens, I felt like I had a purpose in life that was much bigger than me. But I couldn't explain it. So my dad would always say, oh, well, everybody has that, son. You know, they all feel like they need to do things. And that stuck with me into my 20s. And I went through a lot of jobs. When I say a lot, I've had 36 jobs in my life.
Oh, you counted. I stopped counting.
I literally had to think, I didn't think of the number because I refused to stop seeking what would make me feel whole. So I would keep looking. I thought it was a job, So about halfway through my 20s, I said to my dad, I'm like, I really feel like I'm missing something. There's something I need to be doing. And he says, well, you'll figure it out, but you might need to stick with something. I said, no, I'm going to keep looking. Mm-hmm. And I said, the strange statement where this is going is that it actually, something said, you have something much bigger than you to do in this world, and it's for all of humanity, not just for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it at the time because that felt grandiose to say something like that in my 20s. And it wasn't until I was 37, the moment where this actually all epiphanied was going to meet a friend locally here. I'm wearing I work for Task Energy during the day, and wearing my personal protection garb, I walked into this mystical store and I'm like, I need help because I'm feeling something and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And she took me in the back room and done a hand over hand, which is like a kind of a Reiki practice where we transfer energy. And I cried for about 20 minutes because I just felt home.
Yeah, so, it felt good.
Yes, 37 years old,
yeah.
I found what I was seeking for my whole life,
yeah.
which was my purpose. And that's to help other people, to really give back to the community, to serve creation, as some people call it God, Buddha, whatever you want to call it, creation, the creator of the universe,
right.
and help humanity through this really tough time we're going through. So I didn't find out I had a gift till 37 years old, actually. So it took a while. I've always had the gift of gab, but not the actual gift, because this is a blessing. What I do, I don't even fully understand. I just know the magic that comes from it and the benefit it gives to people. So I want to keep offering that.
So I have a question. So when did you find out when you were in passion in Reiki, and what did you go into institution that you went
no.
to? No, okay.
I went the really weird route,
okay.
actually. This is a good message for lots of people to hear too. Because a lot of people think that you have to go to a specific school or a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a lot of people in the community that actually argue with me on this, and they say, you really need to go and be taught how to do it. And I'm a true believer in everything we need to know is already inside of us. We just need to seek it out.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need an instructor. I went online. I went through an online practitioner actually out of Australia.
Yeah, there's lots of good Reiki online.
Absolutely.
Like top.
Which is funny because the Reiki community says, well, you can practice over distance. So then why can't you learn over distance? I don't understand how they can differentiate the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I practiced with a lady down in Australia, and actually, it was more like remembering Reiki than it was learning Reiki, because all of a sudden it was coming very fast. I went through 3 levels of attunement and practicing within about 3 months and got my master's. So it was just a completely accelerated pattern. And the lady who attuned me when she was doing my master's attunement had stated that she had experienced something she'd never experienced before. There was a connection. She said, you need to keep doing what you're doing, whatever that is. I'm going to give you your master's, and you need to keep walking forward in what you're doing. So that was my plaque on the wall for people to feel comfortable when they came in, right? Because nobody's going to go in and be like, hey, you just wave hands over me and do magic. Well, no, it needs a name. So Reiki is a good starting place for people to get familiarized with energy. And most Reiki practitioners will tell you, after you learn Reiki and you become a master, you suddenly develop your own style, and it doesn't become Reiki anymore. It becomes your energy healing.
Right.
And sometimes there's not even a name for it. I technically don't have a name for what I do. It's not really Reiki anymore. Right. It's my own version of healing and help. So that's how I did it. I did it online, and some people have given me some blowback for that, but I think the several hundred people I've seen would say, I don't think you need a certification.
No.
You can give a quality. I think it comes from the heart, honestly. Yeah. It comes from the heart. It comes from who you are. And if you're a true practitioner of energy work, your energy will come through with the universal energy, and you'll be able to help people.
Oh, that's all. I love that. How long have you been doing Reiki, practicing?
It would have been 2018. So January of 2018 is when I very first started professionally actually practicing on people. I was doing all of my attunements and working on people on the side before that. So January of last year is when I very first started even like floating over the body Reiki.
Wow.
So it wasn't even hands on stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah, January of last year.
That's amazing. And also the service that you provide here, I was looking at the website and it says here, self-love, meditation, energy body, and seven chakra.
Yes.
Can you tell me just like briefly?
So in with the chakras in the body, a lot of people will know these and some people aren't familiar with them, but they're the main seven chakras that go along the spine of the body. So there's a lot of ancient practices that believe in the chakras. There's different names for them, but that comes more from the yoga practice. So the chakras going from the top down, you've got your crown chakra at the top of your head. That's your connection to the universe, the connection to source. That's where you get your input. Your third eye, which would be right between your brow, and that actually connects to something in your mind called the pineal gland. That is perception. So that's how you see the world and how you see reality. And a lot of times it also allows you to perceive things from a different perspective. So you want that to be healthy. Your throat chakra, pretty self-explanatory. It's communication, how we speak our truth in the world. Then you move down and you get your heart chakra. Most people would think, you know, love, and yes, it is love, but this is actually where unconditional love comes from. Not the conditional love that we give to one another based on how somebody treats us, but that unconditional love we give to one another based on being another human being. Mm-hmm. So, and love for everything, love for animals. So another one that's we want that open and healthy. And below that, you've got your plexus chakra. So this is right at the solar plexus of the body, kind of between the belly button and the sternum. Mm-hmm. This is your how you present yourself in the world, in a sense. So this is your self-esteem, your self-worth. Another lot of beliefs, it's the seat of the soul. This is where the soul resides in the body, actually, is in that nerve cluster that's in there. That's another one, again, we want healthy, because self-esteem, I think a lot of people are struggling in that. Below that, you've got your sacral. So this is around the navel. This is your sexuality, your emotions. A lot of people can relate to this one, because when you are feeling upset or angry, you get butterflies in the stomach, you get nauseous, you get a tense stomach, you feel upset. It all goes in the belly. Well, if you think about that, why would it go in the belly? It's an energetic reaction you're having to something that you're going through. Below that, and the final one, is your root. So your root chakra is how we ground into this earth, how we're planted here, how you walk into a room and present yourself. Do you walk in strong and tall, or do you walk in sheepish and low? So it's kind of like self-esteem, but not. And it's that groundedness to the earth as well, knowing that we're connected to Mother Earth and that we're feeling supported and good and strong. So those chakras are what the basis of a lot of energy work comes off of. What you want to do in an energy session is they want to try to have each of those chakras open, healthy, and a lot of times visualizing them spinning. So turning and open, and they have colors related to each one as well. So you can visualize the color of the chakra. The root is red, the belly is orange, the plexus is yellow, the heart is green, the throat is blue, the third eye is indigo, and then you got purple in your crown. So you can actually visualize the colors. And if you're working on a chakra, you can have those colors in the room with you. You can have things that you see and set your background on your phone with those colors to try to help work on those things. So it's the basis. It's kind of like, I do believe it's the Buddhists that called it the walking stick of God. Mm-hmm. It's the spine is where all of our energetic pathways go to. So that's the basis of the chakras, is kind of teaching people the start. There's actually thousands of chakras in the body, and they have neural pathways that go between them called nadis.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a complex network around us.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And some of it's even outside the body.
Yeah.
And the energy work that I do actually deals with the outer astral body as well. So I work on the astral body outside of the body as well, because our energetic field goes out from the human body roughly 30 feet. So that's why when you walk in a room and you see somebody across the room that you've never met, mm-hmm. they can give you the willies.
Yeah,
or you can just
yeah.
want to go talk to them.
Yeah.
And you're, that's their energetic field. By the time you've walked in the room, yours is already interacting with theirs and you kind of are feeling who and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I work on that as well because we hold a lot of things in that field too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is mindful? Is it art, science, spiritual? What do you think it is?
It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I think mindfulness is actually a lifestyle. A lot like with spirituality, you've got to live mindfulness and try to bring it into your life wherever you can. A couple of examples of that is that you can do mindful eating. So a lot of times before I eat a meal, I will actually speak to the food in a sense. I will say that, you know, I honor this meal I'm about to consume. It's a lot like prayer, almost like grace, but not. So
yeah.
what it is I say that I wish my body to take from this meal everything that it requires and allow the what doesn't serve to pass through without harm. And then each time I take a bite, I take the time to smell that food a little bit, to taste the food a little bit more, to maybe even appreciate who might have made it, where it came from, how it got to my plate, the fact that I was able to afford that food.
Mm-hmm.
So being mindful is just going deeper into each interaction you have in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Mindful breathing. You find most times in a day we don't pay attention to our breath.
No, you don't.
So if you take a moment
oh, yeah.
and you just...
Exactly.
That's being mindful. When you walk down the street, instead of having your head in your phone or down on the street, look at other people, give them a smile. That's
yeah.
mindful.
Yeah.
So it's just really kind of going deeper into your day and getting a little less plugged into the other stuff.
Yeah.
Become more plugged into your experience of life and what's around us.
Yeah, just forget what's in the past or
yeah.
the future. Just
present.
Be in the present, right?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of beauty in the present that we ignore.
Yeah.
We really do. Beautiful experiences we're missing because we're heads in a phone.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's where a lot of people seek their phone for self-gratification or for
mm-hmm.
just, you know, something instant gratification, seeing something. Mm-hmm. There's stuff all around you. Look around.
Yeah.
There's lots of beauty there.
When did you realize when you wanted to create a hub or a tribe in Moose Jaw?
So as I started to do work with people, I was also going to meditations. So in these meditations, I noticed that there was a lot of people that were saying they wish they could have somewhere to talk about stuff and they wanted to share a little bit of what they were going through. So as I was growing in the I won't even call it a community quite yet, but there was a group of people that were meeting and I was feeling there was a need. And I figured if me, you know, techno nerd with no background in it, could find this kind of deep spirituality and peace in my life, there's got to be more people that I can help do that are probably sitting in the same situation.
Right.
So I saw a need for it. And it was funny because as this started, you know, meditation started becoming like a catchphrase on TV. It started becoming popular with apps
mm-hmm.
and people were starting to catch on to it. So I figured, you know what, Moose Jaw has a lot of mental illness in town and I've experienced
yes.
some of it personally
mm-hmm.
with my children and a lot in life. So I figured what better way to do it than to open up a welcoming location where I can practice my energy work, but then also allow a place for people to come in that didn't have all the mysticism around it and the
mm-hmm.
rules. Like if you want to come in and check out Buddhism and Taoism, come
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah.
If you want to come check singing bowls out, we'll show you how to use them. If you want to learn how to drum a little bit, we'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exploring the mystical, magical side of life that's always been taboo.
Yes.
Only we make it open and airy and nice
yeah,
and no rules.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful having this kind of shop like in Moose Jaw, especially downtown. Such easy access too.
Mm-hmm.
People just walk by like, what's that?
Well, it was a beautiful way that this happened, actually, too. We weren't even supposed to be in this location. The universe has a strange way of putting us where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another location we were looking into, and I won't say where it was, but these people who knew what I was trying to open had kind of some old beliefs, and they figured we were bringing in the devil. So they said, no, you can't lease our space. And we're like, oh, well, that's no fun. So we were looking for a place, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just randomly got a hold of the gentleman who owned the space, and graciously, he gave us a wonderful deal to come in here. And I actually did the work building the store myself.
Oh.
At the time, my now ex-wife was helping as well, but
yeah.
we did the work ourselves in about a month and a half and
yeah.
And made it into what it is out of the ground
up. It turned awesome.
Yeah, it did. It's
yeah.
quite magical.
Yes. Can this benefit your mind and your body's spirit?
Absolutely. This can actually benefit your entire life. Every facet of your life can benefit from this because you can bring this into every part of your life. The beautiful part is, technically, it costs nothing. You can do, you know, a little bit of research and spend money and come to groups and go to events, but the actual nitty-gritty practice of becoming mindful and soulful in your life, you can bring it anywhere. You can use it in your relationship. You can use it to relate to people a little bit better. And I think the most important part is bringing your true self to the surface. Stop putting on masks for people and just being yourself.
Exactly.
The more you do that, the more your life kind of falls into order.
Right.
It can be a bumpy ride, but it benefits the body as well, because people don't realize how much energy affects the body. They've proven that stress affects the body, correct? You know, they say that it affects the mind and chemical imbalances and all these things. Well, where does stress come from? Mm-hmm. You know, stress comes from energy. It comes from an energetic exchange with somebody, or you're anxious, and that affects your physical body. So if you become more peaceful and can challenge and conquer the anxiousness and the depression, then your body benefits from it because it's in a happy place. You can even start talking to your body. A lot of people don't know this. Your body's listening to you. That's why stress has a problem. It listens to you when you're complaining about yourself too.
Exactly.
So you make a problem bigger, or you can make a problem better. Mm-hmm. It's really how you put your intention out there.
A community workshop, you're doing a Song of Healing coming up there. Can you tell us about that, that workshop?
So my workshop, I work a lot with sound. So a lot of what my journey has brought me to, and this is since a kid, I've always been interested in music. Never really good at playing it, super good at listening to it, and I had a very sharp ear for it. So the Sound Healing Night is about how sound relates to the energy body and relates to our emotions. It's like when you're upset and you listen to a sad song, it can make you a lot sadder. If you're in a bad mood and you listen to a happy song, it can make you dance, and it can make that problem go away. That's vibration. So there's a vibration in each note, there's a vibration in each song that has a certain effect on the human psyche and your physical body. So what I'll be teaching that night is showing people how various forms of sound healing affect your mind, your spirit, your energy, and your physical body, because it does a little bit of both. In my practice, I use a buffalo drum over the human body to music, and that drum, the resonance of the drum, just like in a vehicle when you have your music turned up, goes right through the body on a cellular level, and that vibration actually affects your physical body. There's proof that sound changes molecular structure. So you can actually change the molecules and structure in your body a little bit by using resonance in certain frequencies. Drums, crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, some people use tuning forks. There's things called isochronic tones, binaural beats. There's a lot of different versions of healing out there. Mm-hmm. And I just want to introduce people to that, as well as mantras. I want people to understand how mantras kind of work, and we can sing and use our own sound to heal and do that in group. It's a beautiful experience for people to do it. And this room allows me to do it a little more intensely with people because it has the custom audio system in here, and we can really immerse ourselves in that energy, and especially as we do it in a group. When you do it in a group, it has an even stronger impact.
Oh yeah, definitely the energy in the room.
It flows. It flows. And everybody says when we have our events, like, they don't want to leave because it's just this, it's everybody snuggles in and gets cozy. Yeah, it's quite wonderful.
I want to come to it. How can you be present and connected with the community?
I find trying to do every interaction you have in a day, no matter how simple it is with the cashier at Safeway or the person you just meet walking down the road, try to give them a smile. Try to give them your best side. You know, be your true self, obviously. If you're feeling grumpy, you know, you can be grumpy. That's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But try to give them your best side you can, because that person who you're interacting with might be having a horrible day. You know, and a smile or a nice gesture might lift them up into the point where they think, okay, somebody does care.
Right.
So I think being present in community is really important that way. And even with the store, when we work at the store, I work at the front, the girls who work here are super wonderful with engaging the customers.
Yeah.
They talk with them. It's not just a shopping experience. It's coming into, sometimes they come in, they don't even buy anything. They just sit and they share what they're going through.
Sure.
And they feel that we have an open ear.
Yeah.
So I think doing that and then being out in the community at events. I encourage people to come out to these events. Come meet people. Even if you've never been.
Yeah.
And trust me, you will be welcomed with open
engaging
arms.
Engaging with people. That's nothing wrong with that.
No, and it's beautiful. And you don't have to know how to meditate. You don't have to know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Just come. We'll help you. And you'll get a big hug. You'll probably get lots of hugs, because there's a lot of hugging that goes on in this. Because it's very important as well, that physical connection with other beings.
I think that's today's side, is that we just... behind a wall, right? Everybody's behind a wall.
Shields up.
Exactly.
Everybody's got shields up.
Exactly.
Don't come in my bubble, they
say. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know what? You can come in my bubble. It's just fine. You'll probably, as long as you're okay getting a hug, you can come in my bubble. I don't mind that myself. Some people are still very, you know, boundaries and borders, which I get. They're still necessary. But I find in our community, when you come out to the events, your shields go down almost automatically, because you feel that welcoming love in the space that you're okay. You can be a little vulnerable, which is something else we all need to learn how to do, is be a little more vulnerable. We don't always have to protect ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have a game for us to play.
True.
It's a fun game. No, I like it.
Sounds good. I like games.
What makes you laugh?
That makes me laugh. Lots of stuff makes me laugh. You know, ironic statements. I love satirical humor. Just joking with people, ribbing back and forth always makes me laugh. I love a lot of spiritual humor, so there's a lot of memes. Yeah. And yes, it's on the phone, but there's a lot of memes out there about spirituality that make me chuckle. So I like intelligent humor too. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big lowbrow guy. I like stuff that makes you think a little bit because it's got some truth behind it, but it's smart aleck enough that you can get a good laugh. And I really like just seeing people truly enjoy themselves. That makes me smile. That makes me laugh. And just sharing. Honestly, I've laughed more in ecstatic dances that we've done locally than anywhere. I just smile and dance and laugh. And I'm not a dancer by any means. I was referred to as looking like a white gorilla hit with a taser when I was doing my first ecstatic dance. Just giving her beans, you know. And that made me laugh because you don't pay attention so much.
Yeah.
So I think laughter is so, so
just
healing.
Let it go, right?
Yeah,
just
let it go. Absolutely. Just let it go. Feel the love.
Conversation with somebody, who wouldn't have a conversation, idol or mentor or an inspiration?
Right about now, actually, probably Sadhguru. Sadhguru is, I love his energy. I love how relaxed and chill he is, but so very wise. And I love the depth to him. A lot of people might say someone like Deepak Chopra and that, but I find, a little too marketed, a little too, put out there. And not that Sadhguru is not as well a little bit, but I find he's got such a wonderful energy. I would love to sit with him and just based in that, honestly, and soak up and offer whatever I could. If I could have two people, there'd actually be one other one. Is a musical artist, and anybody listening to this, I highly suggest you look this guy up. His name is Parengi, and his name means beauty. So Parengi is this absolutely wonderful energy healer / musician who uses his body to channel music. And he does it in a very beautiful tribal way. But he also does practices with the earth and plant medicines and all these beautiful things. He has a retreat down in Sedona that I'm hoping to get to. And it is absolutely wonderful.
I might check that out.
I will I will spell his name out loud because a lot of people might have a hard time looking that up. Because I know... I've shared his stuff quite frequently with people. I use him in my rooms as well to do healing work.
Okay.
So his work has worked with a lot of people. So it's Parangui. Parangui is how you say it. I used to call him Parangui, but that is not how you say it. So anyway, I would love to sit with him, and I hope to at some point, because I've actually reached out to him a couple of times, and he responded to me. So
it's awesome. Nice. That's great.
And he travels the world, goes to Bali, goes to all over the world touring with these dance festivals and that. So my dream at some point is to actually bring a ecstatic dance festival to Moose Jaw, a music festival with some of the spiritual practitioners that I know. I would love to bring something like that here where we could have a gathering. I'm hoping.
You never know. It can happen.
Maybe I'll invite Sadhguru as well. He can come on in. Don't dream little, dream big. If you're going to do it, dream big.
Well, thank you very much for your time and supporting Spark Podcast.
Absolutely.
And supporting the community too.
Absolutely.
And it's very nice meeting you, Chris.
Very nice meeting you too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all for listening to my interview with Christian Kitchen, who talked to us today about being in the presence of others. As I mentioned earlier, if you enjoy this show, please send us a feedback or email us at admin@commonthought.net. You can also leave a comment, rating, or review on our website, commonthought.net. We love your feedback. Until then, next time.